Our scripture reading for this morning is a little bit long, and it's a little bit small on the back of your bulletin there. And I apologize to Darwin when I sent it to him, but I said, you know, I actually did cut out a lot of verses. You will notice, for instance, that the first section is verses 11 through 17, and there are more than 17 verses. Then the second section is verses 1 through 8, and then it skips to verse 12. So, and then past verse 12, there's still a lot more. So I just want you to know that although that looks pretty good, pretty small, pretty much, there was a lot more. I just try to make it a little bit reasonable. And this is from the, as you see, the RGT. I don't know that I've ever used the RGT before, but I will explain it to you. This is the Revised Geneva Translation. Revised Geneva Translation. You know, the Geneva Translation was one of the first translations of Scripture into English. It predates the King James. The Geneva Translation came out in 1599. And so we decided that we would go to the revised one. Actually, the Revised Geneva Translation was published in 2019, so it is very current. But there's a reason why I chose to use it, and I'll explain that to you. So, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 11. Dearly beloved, I urge you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and have your behavior be honorable among the Gentiles, so that those who speak against you as evildoers may, by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every institution of man for the Lord's sake, whether it is to the king as superior or to governors, those sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well. For such is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not having freedom to be a cloak for evil, but as servants of God, honor the whole brotherhood, love brotherly fellowship, fear God, honor the king. And then going to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 1, likewise, let the wives be subject to their husbands, so that even those who do not obey the word may be won by the behavior of the wives without word. That is, you know, just by their actions, while they observe your upright conduct, which is with fear. Do not let your adornments be outward, braiding your hair or putting on gold or worldly garments, but let it be the inner man of the heart, an incorruptible, meek, and quiet spirit, which is a very valuable thing before God. For in the past also, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves in this way and were subject to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You are her daughters, doing good and not easily fearful. Likewise, husbands, dwell with them as men of knowledge, giving honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel, and as you would to those who are co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers are not interrupted. Finally, all of you be of one mind, compassionate, loving as brothers, merciful, friendly, not rendering evil for evil, nor rebuke for rebuke. On the contrary, bless. Know that you are called to this so that you could be heirs of blessing. And verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears toward their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Now, you can read these words of Peter's in today's text in 1 Peter 2 in various translations. And as I said, I've chosen to quote them this morning from the RGT, the Revised Geneva Translation. It's a translation, as I've said, I don't normally use this, but I chose it pretty much for one word, pilgrims. Pilgrims, there in that first verse, verse 11, because I'm wanting to emphasize the Christian's role as a pilgrim. Of course, the title of the message is The Christian Pilgrim. Well, there are several definitions of pilgrim, but what I'm meaning here is the idea of a person who travels to a foreign land. So in other words, we as Christian pilgrims are moving around in a world that is, or that should be, foreign to us. That is, we as followers of Christ are to live a different kind of life than the secular world lives. Or I could say it this way. Christians are to be in the world, but not of it. Amen. Well, you're living life today, aren't you? You're in the world, aren't you? And the implied next question is, are you of this world? Well, the truth is, living in our present world is sometimes a bit precarious, sometimes even threatening. Have you ever gotten into a disturbing situation and thought, Lord, if you could just rescue me, maybe even go ahead and take me on to my heavenly reward, my home? But that kind of thing would constitute a threatening situation, wouldn't it? And isn't that what many of Christ's followers encountered in the early days of the new church after Christ's ascension? You see, Jesus knew that they would encounter rough times, severe persecutions, but Jesus never prayed that his disciples should be removed from this world. In that great prayer for his disciples in John 17th chapter, Jesus said to his Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Mm-hmm. He loved his followers. He loves us. And he knew that the world was going to need the presence of his disciples, even as the world is always going to need the presence of Christians, loving and reaching out to the lost, living out the image of God, so that the world will be attracted to and come to him, the one that we are following. Remember what Jesus said in that very early message of his to the world, that very early message which we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And he didn't say, get glory for yourself. You see, we are to be salt. We're to be good flavoring for our world. We're to be light. We're to be shining brightly for God's way of life in a world that has a lot of darkness in the ways of the world. And at the same time, we Christians, you as a Christian, also need the world. So Peter addressed his Christian readers as inhabitants of this world, yet as strangers and pilgrims in it. Well, we have a pilgrimage. And what's the nature of that pilgrimage? Well, Christian pilgrims are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians, "We, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven." That's in Philippians 3. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we pilgrims are subjects of our King, God. We are urged to live in this temporary abode, our present life, in full unity with the will of the Lord for our next life, our eternal home. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a great foundational example all the way back to the originator of God's call people, Israel. Verses 8 through 10 in chapter 11 of Hebrews says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." He said, his home in the promised land like a stranger. Abraham was definitely a pilgrim, and he was looking forward to his eventual arrival in the holy city, heaven. Well, Christians are not only citizens of heaven, Christian pilgrims are witnesses. I could say they to include all Christians, but I want this to come down home, and so I'm going to say we. Mm-hmm. We seek to get others to join us in the more godly Christian journey. Peter said it this way to the believers, verse 12 there in your text, "Have your behavior be honorable among the Gentiles, so that those who speak against you as evildoers may, by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of visitation." You see, that's our nature, citizens of heaven and witnesses. So what does Peter suggest as some of our this world areas of responsibility as a Christian pilgrim? Well, our text, verses 13 through 17, speaks of civic responsibilities. Instead of reading all those verses aloud, I'm just going to ask you, put on your reading glasses, refer to the text printed in your bulletin. As we look at our responsibilities in the civic arena, look at verses 13 through 17. You see, it is in accord with God's will that civil government exists. Paul wrote forcefully to the Roman church about this, Romans 13, 1 through 7. I'm not going to read all of that either, but Peter's admonition about honoring and obeying the concepts and leaders of government echoes what Paul has said. And he describes the purpose of government in verse 14. He says, sent by him, that means that these governors were sent by God to, with their purpose is for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Well, of course, as we reflect on some in government these days, actually in the last several decades, we sometimes struggle to follow and we pray that they would know that they are going to be doing right when they recognize they are supposed to realize their original purpose was to be one sent by God to do their job. We don't get a lot of that. Still, like a government and the way they act or not, Christians are not anarchists. We are to submit to the civil authorities as part of our duty to God. That's what Paul says. That's what Peter says. But then Peter's general admonition, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, must be tempered. We have to understand that in what Peter did at one time. When the authorities, this is in chapter 4 of Acts, when the authorities overstepped the bounds of God's will for civil government and made a charge against Peter and John not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus, they answered to that government, the Jewish governing body. This is in Acts 4, 19 and 20. They said, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. You're familiar with that. But then Jesus' great affirmation about government image and inscription on the government image and inscription on the government money of that day. You know, what? Whose picture was it? Whose inscription was it? Caesar's. Jesus said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. That indicates that judgment on what is at hand, that duties to God and duties to government ought not to conflict with each other. So when government oversteps its bounds, then Christians must obey God. Amen. Yeah, you know that. Amen. Well, verses 18 through 25 here in 1 Peter 2 deal with master and slave relationships. And it's an issue that we in America have dealt with, so I skipped over those verses. But it's out there today in our country and countries around the world, I have to add. Christians are on the front lines, and we should be on the front lines, in the fight against sex slavery and human trafficking. That's the modern forms of slavery. Home relationships, however, will probably always be a concern and a part of our Christian pilgrimage. That's in the next verses that we look at. So I may be presumptuous, but as a minister, I've had ample opportunity of observation to suggest that marriage, even Christian marriage, is often sometimes a pilgrimage. That is, even as Christians, some days in our marriages, we may feel we are strangers on a journey in a foreign land. Thankfully, as Christians, we know we can seek God's help to figure out the right journey, not the foreign land one. So I felt I should include the start of Peter's chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's different now. Well, I mean, I hope so. But Peter's concepts were in the Hebrew world, where the patriarchal family was just not questioned. That's the way it was. And Peter didn't question it. As a matter of fact, he devoted six of these seven verses here to wives who he seems to expect more elementary instruction was needed to deal with their responsibilities in marriage, and only one, verse 7, for the husbands. Within that patriarchal system, he suggests this. First, Christian wives back then could possibly win their husbands to Christ by a good example. Now, that's not a bad idea today. Mm-hmm. And the word fear, now that word fear at the end of verse 2 needs a little explanation. That's akin to the concept of God-fearing. Other translations pick up that meaning with something like, with pure lives that you live with respect for God. That's what the woman is to do, pure lives that you live with respect for God, or the fear of God. Then, beauty of character. Verses 3 through 6 is more important than beauty of character is more important than outward put on beauty. Now, I don't think he was suggesting that outward adornments, having a nice hairdo, wearing rings or bracelets or such, is forbidden, as some interpret this to mean. And you know, there are religions where women don't fix their hair and they don't wear jewelry because they take this very seriously. But I don't think that's what he means. He just means that the outward adornments should not be a wife's major attraction to the world or to her husband. The inner beauty is what should be there. Verse 7 in the outline then of Christian responsibilities on our pilgrimage is to the husband. Is it possible that he felt men didn't need several suggestions? Just one verse here? I don't know. What he said was husbands have a Christian obligation to number one, respect and honoring of our wives, giving honor to the woman. That's very important to see there. Peter also acknowledged there in verse 7 that both the husband and the wife are equal spiritually in God's sight as those who are co-heirs of the grace of life. That's what he's saying there. The teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, he quoted with his approval Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:24, talking about the equality of men and women. You know, and God created them, male and female. He created them. That's back in 1:27. And his advocacy there of Jesus is a single standard for all, a single standard for both men and women. And John 8, verses 7 and 11 lead us to believe that his will is that both men and women be considered as equals in the home. And I sure go with that. Amen. Amen. So do we as Christians have a pilgrimage in this world? Well, yes, we do. And our pilgrimage is important. I'll just say it one more time. Our pilgrimage is as strangers, as Christ-like followers living in a foreign land, a worldly land. It says, have your behavior be honorable among the Gentiles so that those who speak against you as evildoers may, by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of visitation. See, in our daily pilgrimage, we're preparing ourselves for heaven. In our daily pilgrimage, we are influencing others, hopefully opening their eyes to see the glory of God in Christ. An example and the teachings of Christ are our guide, and his will is for us to love. And that's stated ever so clearly in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Jesus was asked by a scribe, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And his answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Shall we go on our pilgrimage? Let us go. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.